The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem-Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
Hey, good afternoon. Greetings. Welcome. Happy to be along. Does July just fly by? It's today the 30th, right?
Yes.
One day left in July. I mourn the fact that it's going to go
It's bothersome to me.
Because once August is here...
I don't really want to talk about it.
Essentially, summer's over. It is.
Why? Mike...
True.
Yes.
It's hard to tolerate him when he gets like this.
Yes.
It's like such a negative.
A negative. I'm just pointing out the obvious. Once July's over, especially now with the heightened early schools, that summer is over, like mid-August. That's it.
But you have to look at the bright side here.
All right.
Because you know what comes up in August?
What?
We're closer to the NFL season.
Oh, I don't even care.
Yeah,
see,
yeah.
That's not a silver lining to me.
Okay.
So it's not.
All right. Sorry. Yeah. How about this, John? Will this tickle your feathers or fancy your feathers? How about the NHL?
I like tickle your feathers.
Tickle. Nope. No. Listen, sports is not going to make up for it. No.
Yes, it will.
No, it's not. It's not.
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me? It's the NFL coming up, the NHL, and the best part, October baseball.
Fine.
Yes.
Rub salt in the wound.
That's torture. No.
Jeez,
look,
Mike.
But it's still entertaining, even though our Buccos aren't going to make it.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I don't know.
Right. You got a good feeling about that. No, I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer. But July, you know, then you've got August and September, two good solid months of nice weather, right? Yeah. And then October, okay. But I'm just saying, you see where we are.
Right.
That's all. We just see where we are.
You are not a person to have a good time with.
No, I am. I love summer. I love summer. But I'm just
okay, now stop
letting
talking.
Go.
I'm going to say... that I did a wonderful summer thing last night that I really was thrilled about.
Yeah.
And I want to encourage you guys to do if you haven't done it.
Oh, we can eat outside.
Well, this is what I did. I got a great meal, just a takeout meal. And we had some family in visiting from out of town.
Yeah.
And so we all went down to the fountain at PPG.
Nice.
Okay. Now, if you're used to
I'm
used to being down at PPG in the winter because whenever we have clients in, we always take them down to the winter garden.
Sure.
The whole thing is very beautiful.
Lovely.
Down there. I have not been down there in the summer.
Haven't
in a
you?
Long time.
The kids, are the kids running around through the fountains?
Right. So we had a bunch of, you know, all of my nieces and nephews were there. Anyway, there were kids running in and out of the fountain. It was the perfect temperature and it was a gorgeous night.
It sure was.
The lights are beautiful. Just how they have that whole thing worked out there is so nice. If you're looking for a really lovely summer thing to do with your family, take them down to PPG. You can find, there's a lot right across the street that's only $5 after 6 o'clock. You can stay as long as you want. I had a great dinner. I ate at one of those round tables. It was super nice.
Wait.
Night.
What's the $5?
There's a parking lot right across the street.
Okay, yeah.
Parking's only $5.
Right.
You can stay,
gorgeous.
You know, for an hour, you can stay for 5 hours.
How about the air last night? It was like this light breeze. It was, you know, it was warm. It sort of felt like you were wearing like a little nice warm wind coat.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
I loved it.
I love it too.
I loved it. So this is what I did is we finished eating and then, you know, family got ice cream and all those sorts of things. We stayed until maybe 9:30 and went over to the parking lot. Got our car and drove home, at which point I realized that I'd left my brand new sweater that really, really liked on the chair at PPG.
Is it gone?
So we drove back.
You did?
Yep. And it was there.
Oh,
nice.
Aren't you fortunate?
For
Woo!
All of you that were out there and didn't steal my sweater,
I just
want to say thank you for that.
Yeah. One time when our kids were little, super little kids, like, you know, 1 and 3, we flew to South Dakota and back for Christmas. And then we, you know, got out of the airport, went to our car. Of course, it was like 45 below zero. We got in the car and drove home. We got home. It was like 10:30 at night on a Sunday night. We left the luggage next to the car. I had to turn around, go back in search of that parking spot. Thank goodness the luggage was still there.
You left your luggage in the parking lot.
We had little kids. We were otherwise engaged, putting them in, you know, putting them in the seats,
the car
all that.
Seat, right.
We left it behind. We drove home. It took you 45 minutes to get home. Come back again. Oh, my gosh. It was so cold, so dark, so bitter.
That's a horrible moment.
It was the worst.
That's a horrible moment. Hey, it's National Cheesecake Day.
Oh, who doesn't love cheesecake?
Well, a lot of people don't like cheesecake.
Why?
Well, because some people think cheese for dessert is disgusting.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Do you like it?
I love
Mike?
Cheesecake.
I love it. It's one of my favorite desserts.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Don't you love people who make cheesecake?
Yes.
That's almost magical. People who are so inclined to do that.
What kind of cheesecake?
Oh, whatever. I'll be happy to have any cheesecake.
Creamy or cakey?
Creamy, please.
Oh, see, I like cakey.
Mm. No, Mike, give me the cream.
Give me the cream.
Mm. Yeah, give me a cheesecake. Is there a good cheesecake place in the city here?
I mean, there's the Cheesecake Factory.
You can't count that. You can't. That's like saying you have a good burger. You're not going to go to McDonald's.
I think you pretty much have to. I mean, the title of their restaurant is called the Cheesecake Factory.
Thank you, Mike.
I'm not counting it, Mike. No.
No. Listen, I think they have very good cheesecake.
I've had it once.
You think there's a discount today?
No. Why? Why would there be? What? Because it's National Cheesecake Day. They may be cutting you a break. 10% off.
It's very expensive. Okay. But, of course, you have a piece of cheesecake there, and it's like three meals of cheesecake.
Yeah.
That's all right. I'm just here talking to myself, you guys. It's no problem.
10% off. That's all.
Glass half full here.
It's like Bed Bath & Beyond. You get your little 20% off coupon. Right. You have to hand it to them.
Maybe you get free cheesecake, like a slice of cheesecake.
We're making stuff up about cheese. I don't know. I just want to say that I like it, and I like some plain with cherries on it.
I like it, too.
Or maybe I'd like Kahlua cheesecake,
No, delicious. Do not put alcohol on your cheesecake.
Not on it, in it.
I'm not pouring alcohol on my cheesecake. I'm sure that people, then they light it on fire.
What kind of cheesecake are you eating, Mike?
A regular, regular cheesecake. I'm kind of boring when it comes to cheesecake. Okay. I just like a regular cheesecake. However, I did try, I think it's called the strawberry lime at the Cheesecake Factory. My wife had that the last time we went.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
It melts in your mouth. Oh, my gosh. You're in pure ecstasy.
Really?
Fabulous.
Oh, my gosh.
What kind
so
of
good.
Cheesecake are you eating?
I don't care.
Okay. we're done.
A 10% off kind
10%. We're done with John on this. Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk about intuition.
What?
Is it infallible? I mean, it's not infallible.
Your gut feeling?
But can God speak through your gut feeling? I don't know. We're going to talk about. I mean, that seems like half-baked opinion.
Cheesecakes speak to my gut.
Something does.
Coming up next, we'll talk about evangelical purity culture. Thoughts on the legacy of a lost pastor. We'll talk about Josh Harris with David French, senior writer for National Review, next on today's Ride Home.
Nice. 10% off all day, every day.
WORD. You could win an amazing cruise, an adventure to re-spark your marital relationship on Family Life's Love Like You Mean It Marriage Cruise.
Just log on to our station website and use the keyword Stronger.
And when you enter, you'll also receive a free copy of Family Life's ebook, Stronger Forever, a personalized 6-week plan to grow your marriage.
Make your marriage stronger. Register now to win at wordfm.com/stronger.
Imagine doing one thing that gives you an entirely different perspective about your place in the world. Think it would be worth it? Hi, it's Mike Gallagher, inviting you to join me for a 10-day Stand With Israel tour through the land of Israel in December of 2019. Come with me to get firsthand insight into Israel's fascinating past and promising future. We'll learn about the geopolitical, economic, and spiritual dynamics of one of the most fascinating places on earth. And you'll share experiences that will change how you view the world. Walk the ancient temple steps, touch the Western Wall, sail on the Sea of Galilee, pray on the Mount of Beatitudes. The list goes on. Return home inspired, renewed, and empowered. If you've ever dreamed of seeing Israel, this is your chance. Join me for a life-changing adventure to give you a renewed sense of purpose. The 10-day Stand With Israel Tour, December 2019.
Get more details about the trip or sign up now to join other Word FM listeners on the Stand With Israel Tour by going to wordfm.com/Israel.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are a few of the things many of us take for granted. Yet, for many United States military veterans, finding and affording oral health care is a challenge many of us don't think about. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to see one veteran with special needs one time per year. Visit willyouseeonevet.org to learn more. That's willyouseeonevet.org.
Looking for a satisfying career helping people with disabilities? Consider LifeSteps, who's served Western Pennsylvania since 1923 and offers 100% paid health, dental, and vision premiums for full-time employees. All shifts available. Make a difference and call LifeSteps today at 724-283-1010 or visit lifesteps.net. That's lifesteps.net to check out available positions. LifeSteps is an equal opportunity employer.
Providence Presbyterian Church, Washington Alliance Church, Bethlehem Lutheran Church, St. John the Baptist Church, Impact Christian Church, the Bible Chapel. What do all these churches from various denominations have in common? Nello Construction. Design and build with one company. Nello Construction. Full service construction from the ground up. Renovation. Expansion. Nello Construction. The choice for churches. See the projects. Begin the journey at NelloConstruction.com.
Sexual purity is a good thing. Saving yourself in your sexual purity until your marriage is also a good thing. However, in years past, that sexual purity, especially in evangelical churches, has become something of a golden calf. So much so that it really crushed a lot of lives. The failure to continue in sexual purity.
The failure to live up the scarlet letter.
Right. It became an industry, as a matter of fact, and it started, well, before Josh Harris made his book, I Kissed Dating Goodbye, a national bestseller. But Josh Harris was at the center of sexual purity, essentially known specifically in his ministry for that moment.
Right, and not just sexual purity, but a particular view of dating and marriage, and kind of an if-then a viewpoint of behavior. So if I behave as God tells me to do, then I can expect his blessing. So if I save myself for marriage, then when I get married, I'm going to have a great sex life with no problems.
Right. In a marriage made in heaven.
Sure.
But for a lot of people, of course,
hasn't worked out that
way. No, there's no guarantees in marriage.
So they feel what? Gypped, misled, angry, victimized at the far end.
It's a very complex story. David French is with us to talk about Josh Harris and his latest announcement that he is essentially divorcing and stepping away from the Christian faith. David French joins us as a senior writer for National Review. He wrote a piece on National Review yesterday called Wither Evangelical Purity Culture, Thoughts on the Legacy of a Lost Pastor. David, welcome back, friend.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I don't want to assume, David, that everyone listening to the show understands what purity culture is. So let's kind of go back to the 1990s. You were a youth pastor at that point while you were also trying to get your legal career underway. Talk about that time in American Christendom as far as the evangelical branch goes and what it was like.
Yeah. So, you know, when you hear purity culture, it was something far beyond just simply saying, look, sex is reserved for marriage between a man and a woman. Purity culture was an elaborate new form of thinking about dating, which would include things like ceremonies where you received a purity ring, often it'll say a pearl ring that was you would wear on the same hand where you wear an engagement ring as a symbol of your commitment to purity. Other people had purity bracelets. There would be instead of dating, there would be courtship, and courtship sort of briefly defined as parentally supervised outings and parentally supervised visits under the direction and authority, mainly of the father, throughout a relationship until you actually walk down the aisle. There would be rules about physical contact, and you could only hold hands before you were married. You wanted your first kiss to actually be at the altar, for example. And there were many different permutations of it, but essentially they all rested on the presumption that it wasn't enough to simply say, here's what the Bible says about sexual morality. Here's what the Bible has said about how we are to treat each other. They were going to erect a labyrinth of additional rules that surrounded. And when I became sort of an interim youth pastor, our youth pastor left and then I was the youth pastor while the church conducted a search for an actual professional. The other youth pastor, has, before he left, implemented something called No Date 98, where to sort of be a part of the youth group in good standing, you could not go out on a date. You could only court.
I see.
And so I lifted that restriction as one of my first acts. But it was a culture that taught people something that was sort of the inverse of the gospel. It taught them that if they committed a sin, and sometimes it wasn't even premarital sex, sometimes it would be even breaking restrictions against kissing, that they had been stained, that, yeah, maybe God will forgive them in sort of this abstract sense, but their wedding day would never be the same. Their wedding night would never be the same. Their marriage would never be the same. That there was a stain that was put upon them. And so their identity began to be located in sin and not in Christ. And that was pervasive throughout the evangelical world for much of the 90s and into the 2000s. Mm-hmm.
So many kids who were good kids and trying to do the right thing, like a lot of guys and girls when they get together, of course, you know, there's temptation, there's attraction, there's all that. If they would cross some boundary, imaginary or otherwise, by doing so, they effectively hurt their lives in some way, where they carried this shroud of guilt with them that they were unworthy for the future husband or wife.
Yeah, you would have situations where a young woman would walk down the aisle walk down the aisle to marry a man who loved God and loved her, to launch a faithful and loving marital life. But as they walk down the aisle, there's a stain on her heart, because she has been taught that, you know, the actions that she conducted. And again, sometimes it wasn't even extramarital sex. Sometimes it was conduct well short of that, that was seen as sort of a stain on the virginity of the bride. And so people would walk into marriage with a shadow on their heart. Mm-hmm. Even though when they were children of God, they were Christians who were fully redeemed and forgiven and who have their identity in Christ, and still that stain would be on them, and it haunted them and it hurt them. And, you know, one of the things I say in my piece is that I can't tell you the number of times that somebody would, you know, in just these sobs, say, "I screwed up," and sort of the implicit message was, "I'm ruined. I can never be the person I want to be."
I see.
And that's such a destructive message.
So Pastor Josh Harris was essentially all that and more, in that he grew up in the purity culture. Those rules were enforced upon his life, whether he gladly accepted them or not, so much so that at a very young age, the age of 21, he wrote a book called I Kissed Dating Goodbye, which, if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you may have come across this. But it became a national bestseller, sold more than a million copies, and it defined the generation, right? Mm-hmm. It made him a star within culture.
Yeah, and it kind of made Christians that were aware of it and in the dating age at the time feel like there's either a right way to date, which is his way, or the wrong way. Do you think, David?
Yes. Oh, completely. So it became a marker in a lot of churches of, are you really a serious Christian or not? And if you're really truly serious, if you really truly love the Lord, if you're sold out for Jesus, you're courting, you're not dating. You're imposing the kinds of restrictions, and not just Josh Harris, but others did, about, well, you're going to only hold hands, you're going to reserve your first kiss for marriage. And time and time again, you would come across this sort of demarcation line, even within churches, where the really serious families put the father in charge of the dating life of their children. And you would see this crop up again and again and again. And look, you know, it wasn't the product of somebody saying, you know, rubbing their hands together and saying, "Ha, I'm going to control the lives of my kids."
Right.
A lot of times it was motivated by a real genuine concern that they avoid the heartaches that maybe the parents endured, or that, you know, parents often think and pray hard about what kind of mate that their children will marry, and to the extent that they feel like they can dip in and control that outcome, any sort of formula that's advanced to them that promises that sort of power and control is going to be appealing. I mean, because remember, this is also the same generation of parents who became to be characterized as helicopter parents and snowplow parents. And just this desire to manage their children's lives to ensure good outcomes is a powerful temptation for a Christian parent.
And so when you think about what happened in America in the 1960s and 1970s with, you know, the sexual revolution, in many ways, the purity culture was a backlash to that or a reaction to that. So Josh Harris, he wrote I Kissed Dating Goodbye. And then last week, I think Josh Harris, he's probably in his early 40s, married. He's a pastor, several children. He followed this along. He and his wife, they courted, right? They got married at a very early age. And by all accounts, you know, had that storybook marriage. So last week, Josh Harris announced that him and his wife, unfortunately, were going to get a divorce, which really shook up a lot of people. And then just the other day on Instagram, Josh Harris wrote a post, and he went a little deeper in the post. And Kath, read this, please.
Yeah, he said, I'm learning that no group has the market cornered on grace. And this week, in reaction, of course, to what he said about his divorce, I've received grace from Christians, atheists, evangelicals, ex-evangelicals, straight people, LGBTQ people, and everyone in between. Of course, there have also been strong words of rebuke from religious people. And while not always pleasant, I know they are seeking to love me. The information that was left out of our announcement is that I have undergone a massive shift in regard to my faith in Jesus. The popular phrase for this is deconstruction. The biblical phrase is falling away. By all the measurements that I have for defining a Christian, I am not a Christian. Many people tell me that there is a different way to practice faith, and I want to remain open to this, but I'm not there now.
So that announcement really just sent... It was cataclysmic for a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, it makes me very sad. I never read I Kissed Dating Goodbye. I was already married by the time that book came out. But I've read a couple books by Josh that I thought were good.
And Josh has joined us on the air.
Josh has been on our show a number of times, and he's been really gracious to us. And I really appreciated the fact that over the last, I don't know, 8, 7 years, he's come out and said, I think I really screwed up in writing that book. I think a lot of things I said in there weren't helpful. David, have you followed along with kind of his mea culpa in regards to the book?
Yes, I followed that, and I found it really interesting, and I was impressed by his humility as he did it. And he gave a relatively famous TED Talk, and it was, I think, admirable of him to do this. And I'm sad to see him leave. I'm sad to see this declaration on Instagram, although I have to admit I admire the integrity of it in this sense that an awful lot of people, as they began to depart from Christian orthodoxy, just will say, well, I'm still a Christian. I just am shifting what Christianity should mean. I mean, he sort of has the integrity to say, no, there's this definition of Christianity that's the definition of Christianity. I don't fit it anymore, so I'm not going to try to sort of jam or warp Christianity into my new box. So there's some integrity there that I appreciate, but it's very sad to see this happening. And look, you know, you can't look into his heart and you can't see all of the permutations and changes and shifts and experiences that led him to this moment. But one thing I will say that I have observed in my life is that there are an awful lot of people who come into Christianity and in their youth in a legalistic, formulaic way. And then as life happens to them, if they do not really fully emerge from that, the failure of the legalistic formula, the tension between real life and the legalistic formula becomes so profound that something has to break, something mm-hmm. has to give. And sometimes, and hopefully, it's the legalism that breaks and gives, and that they understand the fullness of the gospel, but sometimes it's the faith that breaks and gives. And they have so defined Christianity by the legalism. Now, again, I'm not saying that's him here. I can't look in his heart, but I've seen this with a lot of people, that they've so defined Christianity by the legalism that that's what Christianity is. And so when the legalism fails in their mind, Christianity itself has failed.
Yeah. And it's a bind that we each are susceptible to at any time, because we are idol makers, each one of us, right?
Yes.
We can make an idol out of anything, and whether, and we can make an idol out of our own goodness probably more easily than we can make an idol out of anything.
Yeah.
And so this is just a, it's instead of a moment where you point fingers at a public figure and say, look, another pastor who screwed up, you know, don't do that. Think about Josh Harris as a person and pray for him and pray. You know, part of me, obviously, I read this and I'm grieved, but I'm very hopeful because I really think that maybe this could be just a pendulum moment where the pendulum swung so hard in that one way, like you said, David, that on the way back to true, on the way back from legalism to true authentic faith and a belief in the person of Jesus and the love of God for him personally, that he's just in a spot where he is a seeker again.
I hope and pray that's the case. And, you know, we don't know. We're not the author and finisher of this story. We do not know what the future holds for him. And I hope and pray that he returns to God. We will see. But one thing that I have noticed is that this moment has occasioned an awful lot of reflection, and sometimes healthy and productive reflection from Christians who are caught up in that moment. And a lot of those guys right now, the people, you know, the No Date 98 crew that were my my students in the youth ministry are now parents themselves. And they're reflecting on that moment and applying the lessons that they learned at that time in productive and hopeful ways, I think. Applying the, you know, understanding that the legalism failed, and the formulas fail, and the fads fail, And how many times do we need to learn that in the evangelical world before it finally sinks in?
Right. Well, the mix of sexuality and Christianity is so complex, especially today. I was telling Kath this earlier today. I was listening to something where they were saying all web traffic, 30% of all web traffic is pornography. So kids growing up today, certainly their experience with sex are different than your experience, my experience, most of our listeners' experience. It's so toxic and so it's so immediately available and so
real.
Yeah, not connected.
Right.
So your heart grieves for anyone who's 13 through whatever, and you're trying to sort this out on your own terms and also still be a follower, a faithful believer of Christ.
Right. I mean, you know, this is a subject where the manifold myriad different ways in which people can be exposed to really grave and addictive sin, and the manifold and myriad ways that people can evade parental controls far more than existed when I was a kid. In my mind, they double down and on the reality that what we need to be doing is not playing whack-a-mole with all the various manifold and myriad ways in which people try to evade authority and accountability and engage in experimentation, et cetera, but rather double down on seeking first Christ and his kingdom. And that inward, that renewal of the heart and that renewal of the mind and the transformation of this heart and mind as the firewall rather than the legalistic imposition of sort of creating that hedge and that fortress.
Yes. Well, David, thanks an awful lot. I mean, it's a very thoughtful piece, and it is heartbreaking. And of course, anybody who was part of that and read Josh's work, I grieve for that.
Yeah, well, you do grieve for it. And it's also a time for anyone who did sign on for that to say, okay, no, wait, let's reevaluate. Let's think about what it meant for me. And if that's, you know, really what I want to give to the next generation.
Right. David French, thanks so much. David French, senior writer for National Review. His piece is called Wither Evangelical Purity Culture, Thoughts on the Legacy of a Lost Pastor. We want to go to the phones. We want to hear your story with the purity culture, how it's affected you or not, for better or worse. Stay tuned for that.
The following is a true story.
My name is David Bryant. When I was 37, my wife and I decided to get term life insurance through SelectQuote. Just 3 years later, I was diagnosed with ALS, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. Because of life insurance, the people I love most in this world will be protected no matter what happens to me. I know that the dreams I have for my family can still come true. Financial security, to stay in the home we became a family in, and for our children to be able to go to college. I reached out to SelectQuote because I wanted to share my story. If just one person purchases life insurance, I know I will have made a difference.
SelectQuote can find a 37-year-old male a $500,000 policy for under a dollar a day.
If there are people you care about, you need life insurance. It may be the single most important financial decision of your life.
Don't put off protecting your family. Get your free quote now. Call 800-671-7070. That's 800-671-7070. 800-671-7070 or go to SelectQuote.com. This is a paid endorsement. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Not available in all states.
Hey, it's John Hall. So a while back, the folks at MyPillow said, hey, John, can you try out a MyPillow and let us know what you think? I'm skeptical. I mean, it's a pillow. But what did I have to lose, right? I'll tell you what I lost. Interrupted sleep. No more folding the pillow in half. No more flat, lifeless pillows. It changed my life. So I'm letting you know, you need my pillow. Well, not my actual pillow, but your own my pillow. It stays cool all night long. No more waking up at 3 a.m. to flip to the cool side of the pillow. It keeps its shape. No more reshaping your pillow in the middle of the night. It comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Try it. Don't like it? Return it. My Pillow comes with a 10-year warranty. Do you have a pillow that comes with a 10-year warranty? You can toss a My Pillow into your washer and dryer. It's like new again. Get a 2-pack of My Pillow's premiums for $69.98. That's only $34.99 per pillow, the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. This offer is only available at MyPillow.com or call 800-391-0954. Use promo code WORD.
Got issues with youth or high school sports? Positive Coaching Alliance can help. PCA, a national nonprofit, offers more than 1,000 free online resources for youth and high school sports coaches, parents, students, and administrators. Visit PCADevZone.org.
At Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville, find extreme accessories for all your dirty jobs, like hauling landscape supplies. Protect your vehicle with spray-on bed liners, tonneau covers, WeatherTech floor liners, and more. Say goodbye to dirt and grime inside and out with extreme detailing. Plus, lift kits, electronics, and remote starters. Always a favorite. Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville, for the extreme in all of us. At extremetruck.net.
This is Kathy Emmons. John and I are grateful for the encouragement we have from all of our advertisers, and especially our friends at Grove City College. Thanks to everyone at Grove City for supporting The Ride Home.
A shower or a thunderstorm around early this evening. Otherwise, mostly cloudy and humid tonight, low 67. Times of clouds and sunshine tomorrow with a shower or thunderstorm around. Humid, high 79. Partly cloudy and humid tomorrow night with a low of 64. Then pleasant with partial sunshine on Thursday, high 81. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm meteorologist Randy Adkins.
Hey, thanks for being with us. We're talking about Josh Harris and I Kiss Dating Goodbye. And the heartbreak that he announced yesterday that he's essentially done with Christianity. He's lost his faith.
By any measure of being a Christian, he says, I am not one.
Right. Last week he said he, you know, was going to get a divorce. And then on the heels of this, yesterday, the announcement that he had left the faith. So we were wondering, Kath and Mike and I were talking earlier in the show, knowing that David French was going to be with us, about purity culture. And we've talked about this a lot.
Sure.
You know, we bring the guys on from Silver Ring thing, and our kids have grown up like that. We've had conversations with that. We've done programs, you know, around that.
Mm-hmm.
But we wonder, in your life, has the purity culture, has it affected you? Has it been a positive influence on your life? Or is it something you wish you had not gone through, that somehow it messed with you psychologically, socially? Was it good for your life? Did it affect your marriage, your kids' lives, your husband or wife? Tell us about that, would you please? 800-320-8255. 800-320-8255. What do you think, Kath? Distill that down. What's the question?
So the question, I think, is, did purity culture affect you as a child or as a teen, and how do you view it now? 800-320-8255.
Did purity culture affect you?
As a child.
Or as a teen?
As a teen, And if so, how do you view it now?
800-320-8255. We'd love to hear about you, about your story. Now, I'm not looking for some salacious details.
Right, right.
Just the overview of whether it affected you or not.
Yeah.
Because clearly it affected a lot of believers.
Yeah. And it was a major movement in evangelical culture in America. And so it deserves to be dissected in some way. Now that we can look back on it and say, okay, you know, were we following along with the Holy Spirit at that point, or was there something else going on?
Right. Okay, so now I'm way past that. You were on the fringe of it,
right.
But Mike was pretty much in the mix of it all, weren't you, Mike?
Yeah, but he's on the phone. So Mike was in the middle of it. We'll ask him in a little bit to give us his perspective on what that was like to grow up in. But Josh wrote the book after I was already married, and I never read it.
By that time, you had Kiss Dating Goodbye.
Right. I had Kiss Dating Goodbye. But I got to be honest, from the very beginning, I didn't like it, only because it smacked of righteousness. And it turned me off.
Did you read the book?
No, I never read it because I didn't like the sound of it.
The tone of the book?
The whole idea of it. Like, I Kiss Dating Goodbye. I understand that there's this great elite way to do it, and I've discovered it. And if you're going to discover it too, then you're going to be the same way I am. And if not, then you're going to be, you know, practicing a less vibrant version of Christianity. But that's how it came off to me.
But as a mother, now especially as a
I never did that purity thing with my kids.
You never did?
Nope.
But you had conversations about purity.
Yeah, I did, but never. I never wanted to talk to my kids about it in a scarlet letter type of way,
right.
Because that's the problem with it. It's not that I don't want my I want my kids sleeping around. It's not that. It's that there has to be. It has to be discussed in light of a full-ranging sexual ethic, a full-ranging Christian ethic about your life. We have this temptation to talk about sex like it's the one and only most important thing. I'm not saying it's not important. I'm saying it's not the only importance.
Well, it's the middle of societal exchange, right? Is it not?
And the thing we've done in culture is we've made it way, way, way more important than
it
is.
You got that right, without a doubt. 800-320-8255. How did the Silver Ring thing, the I Kiss Dating Goodbye, the purity movement, I guess you'd call it.
Yeah.
How did that affect you or not? Give us a call. Let's go to the phones and speak with Greg. Hey, Greg, thanks for calling. How are you, brother?
Hey, John. Hey, Kathy. How are you guys?
Good to hear from you.
I haven't talked to your wife.
We're great.
Yeah. I like this question because until I became a Christian, my life, I told you know my story.
Yeah.
Drug dealer, had all the women in my life. But I tell you what. When I went to the Holy Spirit in 2014 and I asked him for help, I said, you know me better than I know myself. I need help with this lust issue. And he began to do a work in me in 2014. So when I start courting, now notice I'm not using the word date.
Yeah.
When I start courting my wife, I made a commitment and a covenant with God and her. We didn't do anything. We didn't kiss. We didn't do anything. We didn't kiss until we got married. And the day we got married, that was our first kiss.
Wow. Now,
and we went to marriage counseling. So we did the passage of purity thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. Passport to purity.
Right, right.
Now,
now, to be fair, Greg, you were an adult man at that point, and so, you know, I Kiss Dating Goodbye. How old were you?
I'm 56. I'm 61 now.
So you lived a life, right? But this being sold to kids, the teenagers, put a whole different sort of tone to the fabric.
But it worked for you. It was a good corrective for your life, you're saying, Greg?
Yeah, but here's the thing. You got to start with the key thing. You have to start with Christ.
Yeah.
If Christ isn't involved, it's not going to work.
That's good.
Got it. All right. Thank you so much, Greg.
Appreciate that.
Always 800 good to hear from you.
320-8255, 800-320-8255. How about, let's go to Mike. Okay. Add another Mike to the mix. Hey, Mike, thanks for coming along today. What's your answer or what's your insight to the question?
Oh, just growing up and talking, that purity thing opened up a lot of conversation between different nationalities, different age groups, my grandparents. I was able just to talk and even to women because when I was younger, I was real shy. Hmm. So I learned things in the bathroom or on the bathroom walls. But when you're actually talking with women and you find out how they feel about it, it relaxes you because you're both young and nervous.
Oh, that's interesting. But it
that was good back then because it opened up conversation. And it's, to me, it's needed now because there's so much going on with immoral things and lies and untruths and taking sides against each other. And we all want the same thing. I mean, even just having a conversation today, we don't talk. It's like it's going backwards again. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if you believe something, keep it to yourself. You know, if you look like you want to be, like Kathy said, it just seemed, hearing the name of it, it just seemed too righteous for her at the time.
I see.
But once you were able to conversate with someone, maybe it could break down the walls. You'd have to agree, but just to be able to talk opened up and brought a little more closeness. And I love you guys. Keep up the good work. And one day, Trump is going to be on his knees, and he's going to ask God to come into his life, and everybody that talks bad about him is going to realize he is under God's control. Hmm. Love you guys. Keep
Amen.
Up the good
I hope
work.
That happens.
Fabulous.
That's
Thanks
wonderful.
An awful lot. Great phone call. Okay, so good. So the program itself, or the book itself, especially in youth culture in the church, allowed, as Mike is saying, a conversation.
To happen.
Right? Especially
yeah.
for people who are, it's an awkward thing to have that conversation.
Right.
So there's a positive thing about it.
Right.
800-320-8255. Let's go to the phones and speak with Emily. Hey, Emily, you're live with Kath and myself. How are you?
Hi, I'm good.
Emily, tell us, what do you think about purity culture?
I have a very different perspective. So I have four kids. They're just coming into high school, the oldest. And we have opted out of the abstinence-only program that our high school offers because I feel like it's really unhelpful.
Oh, okay. Why is it unhelpful?
It's not that I think abstinence is unhelpful, but part of the way that at least this program does abstinence is to say that condoms are bad or ineffective. And that's the last message I want an entire high school to get.
Yeah.
I think there are lots of good reasons to be abstinent and lots of good reasons for purity, but I don't think we need to bash contraception to achieve that goal.
Okay. So,
and I think that part of the issue with abstinence in, say, a high school is exactly what the gentleman before me said. There is no Jesus in it. We're not talking to Christians. We're talking to teenagers.
Right.
Who may or may not have already had sexual experience. And so we say, you're only pure if you're, you know, a virgin, you haven't had sex. Some of these kids have already been sexually abused. They haven't made a decision not to be pure, but when they hear this message, they have to be thinking, well, maybe I'm not pure.
Mm-hmm. I'm already
maybe
lost.
Maybe I'm that gum that's been spat out. Maybe I am that ripped paper. Maybe I am whatever analogy they want to use.
Right.
Isn't it hard?
And they have no control over that.
Yeah. Isn't it hard, though, Emily, to figure out how to talk about it? Because you want people who have not been sexually active to recognize that there are many dangers that come from sexual activity, not just physical
Absolutely.
Dangers as far as STDs and such, but there are emotional dangers.
Yeah, there are.
There are a ton of emotional dangers that come from being sexually active. So you want to kind of, I don't want to say scare them, but you want it to be serious enough that they care, right? But then you can't go too far with it so that you're talking to someone who's already been abused or been sexually active and make them feel like it's like Nathaniel Hawthorne's Scarlet Letter, right? I truly don't know the healthy way to talk about that.
I don't fully either, but I think consent, my husband was a sexual assault counselor, so this is a topic we talk about all the time in our house.
Mm.
I think talking about consent and what it means to consent, even from a really young age. So we don't talk about consent in sex when they're small, but we certainly talk about you don't have to let, you know, so-and-so doesn't have to hug you, so-and-so doesn't have to kiss you. No one can look at your private parts. We don't do secrets. I think there are lots of things we can do when they're really young. And there, I don't know about everyone else's life, but there are plenty of examples of really poor choices in my kids' lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For us to go see their life, this is not a great way to go about your life. But if you make these decisions, this could happen to you. You could be walking down that path.
Right.
We want the best for them, but is this the choice that you would want to make?
Yeah. Okay. Emily, that's a good call.
Sure
Thank
is.
You very much.
We need to step away for just a minute. We're talking about purity culture.
It's tough. 800-320-8255. Weigh in. Was purity culture a part of your childhood? And if so, how do you feel about it now?
Yeah. This is the Entertainment Answer. Actor Milo Ventimiglia explains the concept behind his new film, The Art of Racing in the Rain.
When Denny talks about driving in the rain, if he creates the circumstance that he's in, then he can control it, because rain is an unknown factor. If you're fighting against it, then it's going to win. But if you're using it to create your own conditions, you can control the outcome.
The Art of Racing in the Rain, rated PG. For this Entertainment Answer, I'm Matt Mungle.
Hey, Mike, how's the house coming along?
Needs a ton of work. The pipes are leaking. Needs a new roof. The AC just broke. I just don't have time to do it all myself. You know anyone?
Oh, just ask Home Advisor. They match you with the best local pros for any home project.
Cool.
Yeah, you can read reviews and book appointments online.
What's it cost?
Actually, Home Advisor is always free to use.
Nice. I'll check it out.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app. Home Advisor.
Baseball season is in full swing. It's a good thing Matt secured his denture with Super PolyGrip. Now he can enjoy the snacks as much as the game.
PolyGrip!
Hey, how are you? So great to see you.
It's that time of year when the family meets up.
Hi, come on. Get together, guys. Family photo.
It's a good thing Jack cleans his denture with Polident so he can enjoy the whole day with confidence.
Polydent.
Most clubs you join require an initiation fee or a club membership, but not the Word FM Discount Shopping Club. No, in our club you save as much as half. Half off home improvement services, web design, family entertainment, music festivals, and much more. All from the comfort of your computer or smartphone. Log on now to wordfm.com/shopping and God save the green.
You know, they say the best is yet to come. But to make that true for your retirement, you need a plan. We'll start by tuning in for Your Retirement Blueprint with Kurt Konodik and Ethan Lane with Accurate Solutions Group every Saturday morning at 10. Kurt and Ethan can help simplify the retirement planning process. No technical terms or calculations, no product pushing, just the information you need for retirement. Don't miss Your Retirement Blueprint with Kurt Konodik and Ethan Lane of Accurate Solutions Group every Saturday morning at 10 right here on 101.5 Word FM.
Our phone lines are open at 800-320-8255 to talk about purity culture, but I'm also receiving some things via direct messages and social and such. A listener says this, the purity culture affected the kids, but also the parents. I have a lot of regrets over how we parented because of it. We always tried to emphasize the goodness of sex in marriage and the reasons to wait. And I think a lot of parents had their own regrets in this area and wanted something different for their own kids. I could say a lot more on this topic, but suffice it to say, try so hard, fail so often.
Hmm. Mike, what about you? You were sort of in the center of this, weren't you?
That book came out when I was a senior in high school.
Okay.
And then I went to Valley Forge Christian College, and I took a youth culture class. And that book was talked about notoriously. Our professor kind of poo-pooed it. He approached it in a way that he basically called his style relationships God's way. And instead of just kissing dating goodbye, he said, if we kiss dating goodbye, how are we supposed to get to know the person?
Right.
So his approach was group dating.
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have the answer to this. It's very touchy. I personally didn't apply
any principles at all.
Any principles? I didn't have that growing up. I kissed dating goodbye. I didn't have
no guidelines.
I didn't have guidelines. I mean, we did talk about it in youth group, but that was the extent of it. There was no plan of action or execution.
There was no manual.
There was no manual.
But see, that's where the book went wrong.
Yeah.
Is that guess what? In the Bible, there's no manual either.
Right.
It doesn't tell you how to do it. And so I think the problem with I Kissed Dating Goodbye is that it took biblical principles and turned it into a manual. Like the manual was biblical.
Yeah.
And it wasn't.
Right.
I mean,
it became almost a holy book.
Right.
Yeah. Right. That's really true.
I think it's a good point, though, that the listener raises, that this didn't come out of Josh or anyone else's desire to make kids feel, you know, marginalized or stained or whatever
No.
It came out of the fact that they had made mistakes themselves and they didn't want their kids to make the same mistakes.
That's how my perspective, 100%.
So, and so of course that would be a natural reaction. And look, in all the decisions we make as parents, they're all, every single one of them, affected by our own sin and our own background.
Right.
And oftentimes we react against that, and sometimes we react in favor of it. I mean, it's just there's no easy way to parent, and there's no easy way to grow up.
Right. Yeah. And the layers of youth and sex and emotion, attraction, and Jesus in the middle of all that, it's very, very difficult. And on top of it all, I mean, I look at Josh Harris, my heart just breaks for him and his wife and his kids.
Yes.
So sad. It really is sad.
He's a great guy. He's always been kind to us. He's a wonderful writer. I really am praying that this is just a process that he's going through.
I bet you 5 years down the road, there's a whole other chapter for him that's a strong, big chapter.
Right.
We'll take a break, come back. Stick around. It's The Ride Home with John and Kathy here on Word FM, WPIT Radio.
Find yourself struggling to get comfortable while trying to read or watch TV in bed? Consider an adjustable bed from the Original Mattress Factory and elevate your sleep experience. Raise your head and feet to the zero gravity position to help relieve joint pressure and provide optimal comfort. The Original Mattress Factory offers two models of high-quality adjustable beds at an excellent value. Both models are designed to pair perfectly with an Original mattress. Visit an Original Mattress Factory location near you to find the perfect adjustable bed and mattress for you.
Sleep impacts your ability to focus, learn, and solve problems. But according to Harvard Medical School, only 11% of American college students are sleeping well. At the Original Mattress Factory, we can't guarantee that your college student won't stay up until 3 a.m. cramming before a big exam. But we can provide a hand-built, high-quality mattress at a factory-direct price when they are finally ready to get some rest. Visit an Original Mattress Factory store near you or go to originalmattress.com to learn more.
This is Peter on his motorcycle.
Whoa, the open road!
And this is Peter off his motorcycle.
Please move your paper off my desk. Thank you.
On his motorcycle.
I feel so alive!
Off his motorcycle.
I feel like we covered that already, so...
On.
Wow! Look at the ocean!
Off.
Look at this article I found about urban planning.
You're better on your bike. Progressive helps keep you on it. Get a quote in as little as 3 minutes at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Looking for a satisfying career helping people with disabilities? Consider Life Steps, who's served Western Pennsylvania since 1923 and offers 100% paid health, dental, and vision premiums for full-time employees. All shifts available. Make a difference and call Life Steps today at 724-283-1010 or visit lifesteps.net. That's lifesteps.net to check out available positions. Life Steps is an equal opportunity employer.
Providence Presbyterian Church, Washington Alliance Church, Bethlehem Lutheran Church, St. John the Baptist Church, Impact Christian Church, The Bible Chapel. What do all these churches from various denominations have in common? Nello Construction. Design and build with one company. Nello Construction. Full service construction from the ground up. Renovation. Expansion. Nello Construction. The choice for churches. See the projects. Begin the journey at NelloConstruction.com.
Most clubs you join require an initiation fee or a club membership, but not the Word FM Discount Shopping Club. In our club, you save as much as half. That's right, 50% on gift certificates and items from local restaurants, health services, and much more. Discount deals just in time for birthdays, special occasions, or just because. And all from the comfort of your own computer or smartphone. Great deals and awesome savings. Log on now to wordfm.com. Keyword shopping.
We're talking about purity culture to wind up the hour. So, Mike, talk about what one of your teachers told you.
One of my professors talked to me about, he coined this phrase called neo-virgin. So if you lost your virginity and you wanted to recommit your life and make a statement of living a life in purity, then you're what's called a new virgin, which I necessarily don't agree with that. I mean, if you lost your virginity, then you lost your virginity. If you made that mistakes, you know, you can look back and you can learn from it.
Right, but you can't act like it didn't happen.
Okay, so
what that makes me think is that we really do treat sex differently than any other sin.
Right.
We really do. Is that, you know, if you have sex before you're married, it's one and done.
Yeah.
It's over. But if you lied yesterday at Giant Eagle to the checkout person who said, wait, is this broccoli?
And
you didn't tell her it was organic?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's not a big deal.
Hate that.
Right.
So we are wrong. Each one of us is wrong in how we look at sin. That's the problem.
I
really don't think it's that. It's as much that we don't understand the whole sexual aspect, though I think that's a problem. I think the bigger problem is we just don't understand what sin is and what it does to us. And so our repentance and our focus is very narrow.
Right. But, you know, in the culture we live in, sex is so glamorized or so heinous or so fearful that it becomes this psychological weapon against ourselves first and then everyone else later on.
Sharing the word that changes the world. 101.5 WORD-FM, Pittsburgh, a service of Salem Media Group.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. President Trump claims a groundswell of African-American support in response to his comments about rat-infested areas of Baltimore.
The president says the White House has been flooded with people thanking him for exposing Baltimore's issues.
They really appreciate it.
And everything else he's accomplished.
What I've done for African-Americans in 2.5 years, no president has been able to do anything like it.
The polls do not reflect that. Gallup reports his approval among Black Americans hit 8% last month. A Quinnipiac University poll today finds 80% of registered African American voters think he's racist. The president says he's the least racist person in the world.
Fake news does not report it properly.
Sagar Magani, Washington.
On Wall Street, the Dow down by 23 points, the NASDAQ dropped 19. This is SRN News.
The Ride Home with John and Kathy, driven by Calusi Chevrolet, serving the Pittsburgh area for over 100 years.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right. Free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ziprecruiter.com/free. That's ziprecruiter.com/free. ziprecruiter.com/free.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor Dan O'Neill. The Bible talks about the former rain and the latter rain in Joel 2:23. This description of the rain cycle of the land of Israel precedes a description of the day of Pentecost in Joel 2:28, which says, "And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people." Peter quoted this exact scripture when he preached on the day of Pentecost. So what is the connection between the rains described in Joel 2:23 and the day of Pentecost described in Joel 2:28? Pentecost is a feast celebrating the harvest of grains. If there was a former rain, but no latter rain, the crop failed. At Eagles Wings Church, we try to live in the season of latter rain, praying and eagerly anticipating a great harvest of souls. Come join us at Eagles Wings Church Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. at Taylor Alderdice High School Auditorium, 2409 Shady Avenue in the Squirrel Hill neighborhood of Pittsburgh.
We're surrounded by noise, bombarded by information, messages struggling to get attention. So many ways to reach customers. Your message needs to cut through and stand out. For the resources and know-how to make it all work, there's Salem Surround. Get started with a free evaluation of your digital presence and some great ideas to increase your online visibility and revenue. Learn more at surroundpittsburgh.com. Surroundpittsburgh.com, connecting you with new customers.
Why a classical Christian education? Because kids learn differently at different ages. Through grammar, we grasp the building blocks of knowledge. Logic teaches how those building blocks relate. Then rhetoric helps us communicate what we know. For over 50 years, Trinity Christian School has intentionally applied this classical approach to education with great success. It's just one reason why they're consistently ranked among the top K-12 schools in Allegheny County. Trinity Christian School at trinitychristian.net.
A shower or thunderstorm around early this evening, otherwise mostly cloudy and humid tonight, low 67. Times of clouds and sunshine tomorrow with a shower or thunderstorm around, humid, high 79. Partly cloudy and humid tomorrow night with a low of 64, then pleasant with partial sunshine on Thursday, high 81. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm meteorologist Randy Adkins.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem, Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome. Thanks for coming in today. So looking at the article in today's local papers, the PG and the Trib, apparently we'll not be going to Heinz Field anymore after the year 2021. Because it feels as though it seems to be that the naming rights are up at the end of the 21 season for Heinz Field, and that Heinz, the company, which is no longer Heinz, the company, which is now Kraft Heinz.
Which is really still just an insult.
Yes, that they have essentially said through channels, we no longer are interested in spending millions of dollars to be part of Heinz Field.
See, that's just another kick in the pants. It really is. I mean, first of all, we have Kennywood's potato patch not using Heinz ketchup.
Right.
Now we have the fact that Heinz Field isn't going to be Heinz Field because right. Kraft Heinz and Bob Kraft and what if they don't want to, you know, pony up for all that.
And eventually, you know, Heinz is going to be gone from the city of Pittsburgh. You know
well,
that.
Well, there's no Heinz factory anymore because there isn't a, I mean.
And on top of that, what's Juju going to do in his free
exactly,
time.
Mike. That's what I'm saying.
No ketchup giveaways.
I mean,
sorry, Matt.
This is a lot for me to take.
Yeah.
And I've said this before. I don't like Heinz Field as a stadium.
No,
I don't like it.
Most people don't.
I think it looks like aluminum foil on the outside. And inside, it's okay. Nah. But I don't love it. It's just, I'm sorry.
As bad as the Pirates are, they've got a great field.
They
the Steelers
sure
should have just used the
do.
Same architect.
Yeah, it's...
Okay, so why do we need naming rights other than the obvious answer of cash
flow? Can't we just call it Steeler Stadium? The only reason is cash.
Yeah, just cash.
Right, so, okay, so what are we're going to end up with something really... Heinz Field sounds awesome.
Heinz Field.
It looks awesome, and there's the ketchup thing.
Yeah, it's excellent.
And the end zone.
The John and Kathy Stadium.
Oh,
Oh, God, yeah.
How about, just call it Three Rivers Stadium. Three Rivers Field.
You can't.
Three Rivers Field.
No, you can't.
Why not?
No.
Why?
Because,
what's the problem with that?
Because Three Rivers Stadium was
it's
a
gone.
Thing and now it's gone.
Yeah.
We're not reinventing it.
All right, enough of that.
It's not reincarnated.
Why don't you call it, what do you call it?
What are they saying that we're going to call it? Are there options?
Oh, well, there's a lively conversation on Reddit. You know,
oh,
what
well,
if?
Well, this is going to be, you know, close to the truth.
Iron
no
City Stadium.
Iron City Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. A good one.
Eaton Park Field. That's horrible. That's horrible.
That just sounds wrong.
Mr. Rogers Neighbor Field.
Oh, that's good.
Jeff
Dorky.
Goldblum Field.
Jeff Goldblum Field. Uh-huh. That's really ridiculous.
Shendorovich, and Fishman Stadium. how about, you know, well, you know what's going to end up happening? They're probably going to call it UPMC Field.
Oh, God.
No.
Oh, that'd be horrible.
Please.
Oh!
Yeah, please.
Be the worst.
They've expanded enough.
Yeah. How about, why don't they call it U.S. Steel Field?
Because, that's cool. Well, because there's no U.S. Steel anymore.
There's no money in U.S. Steel.
Oh my! If I can't.
How about
Renegade Field?
Dick's Sporting Goods Field. That'd be horrible too.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what this is going to be.
Oh, naming rights are so annoying to me.
My Pillow Field.
Yeah. 1-800 My Pillow. Okay. Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know what you're going to call it. I mean, UPMC,
you know,
Highmark.
Naming rights to fields are annoying, and you know how I feel about those words at the top of buildings.
Yeah, they're the worst, right?
Whose idea was that? And when someone said, hey, how about we put my company, if I give you a lot of money, I'll put my company name at the top of your building. How about that person saying,
No.
You know why? Because it's a beautiful building, and we're not going to put stupid letters at the top.
Well, there was many, many years that Pittsburgh had laws against that.
I know.
But no,
and then
longer,
what happened?
Course,
you know what this means, guys?
Asked. What?
Yeah. They're taking away the big, massive ketchup jars when it's like when it's third down.
I know.
Yeah,
that's what I.
I'm so sad.
Right. Okay. So now we went from Console to PPG Paint, which they're both horrific as far as I'm concerned.
I thought Console was easier to say.
The worst.
They
the
should
worst.
Do MyPillow because they can put big, massive
My Pillow.
Pillows.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's a good idea, Mike.
The ketchup things.
Hand them out as seat cushions,
yeah,
which would be very nice. I'd like that.
Huh? My Pillow seat cushions.
Yeah,
that's
it'd be very
good.
Nice, right? You know.
All right. Yeah. Okay, now also news comes that the regatta's canceled.
Ouch. How about this? I was just talking to somebody about the regatta. Have you been to the regatta lately?
I've never been to the
You've
regatta.
You've never been to the regatta?
I don't like it.
Yeah.
So this is what happens.
The regatta's supposed to be this weekend.
So a boat goes right by at incredible speed, and you go, wow, that is fast.
Well, that's cool. That's cool.
And that's it. That's all you do.
When our kids were little, we took them down to see the boat go by really fast.
Okay.
Now, we had little boys, so they thought it was super cool.
I got that.
But one and done. We were pretty much done. So on the heels of this today, apparently funding has washed up.
Well, yeah, it says we learned late last week, and this is Charles Schultz, a member of the Pittsburgh Three Rivers Regatta Board of Directors. He said, we learned late last week that the event management company charged with overseeing all aspects of the regatta failed to provide the necessary assurances for a safe, sanctioned, and fully coordinated event.
They did not
secure the mandatory insurance for it, which forced us to withdraw our application for an event permit.
Ouch.
Pittsburgh Three Rivers Regatta has hired Lionheart Event Group for the past several years to manage the event. And the responsibilities for the group included purchasing insurance, securing permits, acquiring sponsors, collecting sponsorship money, contracting with food vendors, working with race boat organizations, and working with the city and others to provide security.
I see.
But they didn't learn until last week that Lionheart had misrepresented the status of payments and insurance related to the event and had not met critical benchmarks to ensure that it could go forward.
Well, you're still going to have to pay
off
some
vendors. Let me just say, I'm reading from Pittsburgh Action News number 4's website. You're still going to have to pay the vendors.
Sure.
And, you know, I really feel sorry for the restaurant owners and such. In fact, they talk in this article about the fact that restaurants and bars in the cultural district in downtown are stunned. That this has happened because they expected more than double normal business.
Ouch. That's going to hurt. Yeah.
Yeah. Heather Moran, who's manager at Salonika's, said we always double our profits, if not triple them.
Mm, during the regatta.
Yeah.
I did not know the regatta was named EQT Three Rivers Regatta.
Because, of course, we had to sell the naming rights.
What's EQT?
That's a company. That's at the top
a
of
law
a building.
Firm?
I don't know.
I don't know what it is. Okay.
It's three letters at the top of a building that make me mad.
You know what it's going to be? It's going to be Rivers Casino Field. That's what it's going to be. You know it is, right? Probably. They're the people who have all the money in town.
Yeah,
can't be Highmark because there's already a Highmark Stadium.
Right.
You know what? The UPMC thing, what you said as upsetting and stomach-churning as that is, that does
right.
actually
right. Well, the one
like
they call the UPMC Highmark Field, one side UPMC sits, the other
That's
side
good.
Highmark sits.
That's good. And you're not allowed on the UPMC side.
Right,
if
exactly.
You're just not allowed. You can look at it and you can think, wow, it must be great over there.
Nope, don't come
But you
come
are
over.
Not allowed to go there.
Mm-mm.
Nope.
No.
Absolutely not.
Well, that's bad news.
All
bad
right.
News for the city.
Coming up next, sometimes God wants you to use your intuition. Can you trust your intuition?
Your gut feeling?
Yeah. Do you think God speaks to you through your intuition?
I don't know. We're going to talk about that next. In your gut.
101.5 WORD.
What makes you cry? Well, it's an uncomfortable question to ask, especially of men who often believe they shouldn't cry.
Yet this week, in our study of the Book of Lamentations, our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, tells us why godly people should cry. I'm Steve Schwetz, inviting you to join us as we'll hear about Jeremiah's overwhelming grief and be reminded of another who sat weeping over Jerusalem 600 years later.
Through the Bible, this evening at 9 p.m. on 101.5 WORD.
Do you owe the IRS or state back taxes that you can't afford to pay? If so, listen carefully, because you may qualify to have your debt dramatically reduced by up to 90%. You heard right. The IRS has made it easier than ever to settle delinquent tax problems through a federal program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Qualifying for this program may end any collection efforts against you, resolve your tax problem, and possibly reduce your back taxes by up to 90%. And all you have to do is make one phone call to Victory Tax Solutions. The IRS can garnish your bank account, pension, and savings. So don't wait. If you have unfiled tax returns or unpaid tax debt to the IRS or state, these special programs are available to you now. Stop your worrying and call the hotline at Victory Tax Solutions today to see if you qualify and potentially save thousands of dollars. For this free information, call 800-813-1105, 800-813-1105, 800-813-1105.
Hi, my name is Ryan Bourne.
And I'm Danica Bourne.
And we're the owners of South Coast Tax.
We started our company 10 years ago in an effort to help our fellow Christians experiencing tax issues resolve their matters by taking a simple three-step approach.
South Coast Tax are Christian-based tax accountants and attorneys that specialize in releasing bank levies, wage garnishments, and filing complex tax returns. We are the leaders in acceptance of offers and compromise with awesome results. We're also a small firm who will treat you like family, not just a number.
Call us today at 1-800-TAX-1176 for a free consultation, and we'll take the time to explain all the programs that you qualify for in order to allow you a fresh start.
Proverbs 15:22 says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Call us today at 1-800-TAX-1176, and together, we can help achieve this goal by putting the IRS debt behind you for good. Again, that number is 1-800-TAX-1176.
How does Eden Christian Academy prepare students for success? Through education that ignites the mind and inspires the spirit, from pre-K through 12th grade, through 47 state-certified full-time teachers, and opportunities in sports, the arts, and service to the community. With results like SAT scores 200 points over the national average, schedule a tour at any of Eden's three North Hills campuses and see what the area's largest non-denominational Christian school has to offer at EdenChristianAcademy.org.
Often hear stories, you know, after a disaster of those who were left behind. You know, a plane crashes and the news media finds someone who says, you know, I was getting on that plane and something told me, I just don't get on that thing because it's, you know, something bad's going to happen. So I'm grateful for that feeling in my gut, that voice in my head. But is that a thing, intuition or a feeling in your gut? Well, Dr. John Kessler is back with us. John's a regular guest on our show. He's got a brand new book out called Practicing the Present, The Neglected Art of Living in Now. But from that, Christianity Today put an article out, was excerpted from the book. Sometimes God wants you to go with your gut. Our intuitions aren't infallible, but that doesn't mean we should ignore them. John Kessler. John, welcome back to the show. How are you today?
I'm good. John, it's great to be with you.
Thank you, John. Always good.
So, you know, it's funny. The story that John told is a story that all of us have heard in some way, shape, or form, right? I knew that I was supposed to turn around. I knew that I was supposed to open that door. I knew I wasn't supposed to open that door. I mean, and people say this, people who aren't Christians, people who are Christians, it seems like kind of a human experience. John, what made you start thinking about intuition?
Yeah, and I think you're right, Kathy, that there is a human dimension to it. You know, if you want to define what intuition is in general, I think you could call it that flash of insight that prompts us to act in a moment. And everybody has had that. But I think there's an added dimension when it comes to the role of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life, that sometimes that inner voice that's telling us what we should do next comes from the Holy Spirit. So, you know, of course, I've thought about it in my own personal experience. It came to mind as I was writing Practicing the Present, because that is one of those present moments where, you know, where you're trying to get a sense of how God is directing your life, how he's working in your life. And I also think, as you mentioned it, many, many times we become more aware of it after the fact when we have ignored it. you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I should have listened. I should have paid attention to
that. Yeah, yeah. I actually think that's one of the ways you begin to get a sense of it. That's one of the ways you begin to recognize that, what I call it, inspired intuition, not in the technical sense of inspiration, but that prompting of the spirit to act. That the more I realize after the fact that I should have listened to that voice, the more I get to recognize it when it comes up.
I see. So, John, when I was a freshman in college, I took a Psych 101 class, and the teacher famously talked about his annual trip, his annual vacation, where he would get in his car, drive to the end of the street, and wait for something to urge him to turn left or right. And then he spent like a week on the road doing that, where whichever way the wind blew or whichever way he thought he was being led, that's what he did. I mean, that seems crazy, you know, in some way, freeing in other ways. But, you know, do we always trust our intuition? Is that the right and proper thing to do?
No, I don't think we should always trust our intuition. I think there is a danger that comes with this. Jeremiah 17:9 says that the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? And sometimes, you know, the Bible warns us that our own inclinations sometimes can steer us in the wrong direction. So I'm not talking about this guarantee that we have that since you're indwelled by the Holy Spirit, that means every time you have a prompting, you can be sure that it comes from God. But I would say that most of us come from an intellectual tradition where we're really not inclined to listen to the experiential side of our relationship with God. And we're very much rational in the way that we make decisions. And I think you could call this, you might call this super rational. That is, it doesn't ignore the rational side. You know, you have gathered facts. The mind is still engaged. But sometimes there is something that goes beyond just what the thinking process, especially when I'm put in a position where I have to make a decision in the moment, where I can learn to trust the Holy Spirit to give me a sense of direction.
Mm-hmm. So that is a thing that occurs. Isn't it funny to think about the theological spectrum on this, John? You know, you have the Pentecostal charismatic theological mm-hmm. tradition that mm-hmm. is largely based on feeling, largely based on intuition, right? And there's mm-hmm. not, oftentimes, a lot of rationality that happens there. And then you have the other theological tradition where there's all rationality and there's not,
right.
It's like there's a distrust in anything that doesn't have like a scripture verse mm-hmm. attached to it.
And I think both of those extremes, both of the extremes in both of those traditions can be problematic. I would say that in our evangelical tradition, for many of us, that the Pentecostal movement has been helpful in reminding us of the ministry of the Holy Spirit and moving us a little bit more toward a more holistic process when it comes to this kind of decision making, where we are expecting God to show up.
Yeah.
You know, we're expecting God to give us direction. Mm-hmm.
So, John, Christians would say, well, I feel the leading of the Holy Spirit, right? I mean, that's a common phrase. So,
is that intuition?
Yeah, is that intuition? Is that biblical?
Interestingly, that is the language we usually use when we're talking about guidance. The Holy Spirit's leading me to do this. Scripturally, that when Paul uses that language, he's talking about something else. When Paul talks of being led by the Spirit, he's not talking about guidance. He's talking about the power to live for God, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that enables me to say no to the flesh and yes to God. But from a practical point of view, when that's really what we mean when we're talking about this sort of guidance, that it is the fact that the Holy Spirit is present, active in our lives, and giving direction, that he's not detached. You know, it's not as if God is detached and sort of watching our lives unfold and not involved with us. So, And I think it's important to start with this, the language that Paul uses, and realize that when it comes to guidance, the broad outlines of everything that we need to do are put in writing for us. Mm-hmm. You know, that's, I think that's the first assumption when it comes to practicing this. You already know what you need to know to be where you're supposed to be because it's in the Word of God. I'm not talking so much about the fine details of decisions we have to make, but the big ticket items, the moral issues, that's all written down for us.
Right.
And then there's the Holy Spirit who gives us the power to say yes to that. And I think that gives us some, you know, some bumpers, some protection then when it comes to experimenting with this idea of following what we sense to be the prompting of the Holy Spirit. He's never going to lead me in a direction that contradicts what he has explicitly told me
right.
I should do or should not do.
Right. So you're never going to get a leading from the Spirit that is not in accordance with what's in the Word of God.
Right.
Right? So
you may
that...
get a prompting. Yeah, you may get a prompting that you want to do that, but that's not God speaking.
Right.
It might
good.
Be my flesh or it might be Satan or you
right.
know something else.
But then
right.
there's discernment then.
Yes, and discernment really comes not so much from the way you feel about things. That discernment really comes from your knowledge of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's what allows me to sort through the various options that I have or the inclination. Sometimes, you know, sometimes the prompting of the Spirit is counterintuitive. That is, you know, one of the things I tell a story in my book about a time when I was invited to leave the church I was pastoring at and go to another church. It was a larger church. It was in the area that was near where my wife and I grew up. We really wanted to move back there, but I just did not have the freedom to say yes to it, even though I really wanted to. So I made the counterintuitive choice to say no to that opportunity. That I feel after reflection and experience, I realized that was the prompting of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. But you weren't sure at the time.
No.
That's
no,
the
I
thing.
Wasn't.
So it does have an element of risk to it.
Yeah, and that's the mystery of it, too. And so that's, I think, another important principle if you're going to practice this is, first of all, assume God's continuing and immediate presence in your life and expect him to guide you. And in those times where you make choices that sort of veer off, he is able to lead you back on track. I think sometimes Satan uses these kinds of situations to terrify us, you know, because we think, wow, if I miss that subtle prompting of his Spirit, or if I make a choice that leads me in the direction and it's not God, my whole life is going to veer off in this direction. That, you know, God cares about us too much to operate in that manner. So I think there is some freedom there to practice the sensitivity to this prompting of the Holy Spirit and trust God to, if you get it wrong, he knows how to bring you back on track. And if you're not listening, if he's telling you to move in a direction, often, you know, he's persistent in his prompting. I may say no immediately and later on down the road realize, yeah, that's what God is. There's a wonderful account in the book of Acts where Paul in Acts 13 is directed by the Holy Spirit in one of his journeys, and he gets it wrong two or three times, you know, where he tries to move in one direction and the Spirit says no. He tries to go in another direction and the Spirit says no. And finally, he has this dream where this man from Macedonia calls out to him. I'd love to know what the specifics were of how he knew the Spirit was telling him where not to go, but at least I know this, that God is engaged and he knows how to close and open doors for me.
I love that, John. I appreciate the push to those of us, because I tend to be one of the more heady ones, and I feel like I have to analyze it and see it written out for me before I am going to step into it.
I'm the opposite.
Yeah, and it's probably good for you to hear that, you know what, you need to settle down a little bit.
Right.
It's hey, not John. The first time, John, we've had to tell John Hall to settle down.
John, thanks an awful lot. It's a fascinating subject. I look forward to more of practicing the present.
All right, great to talk to you both.
Our pleasure. John Kessler, his brand new work is called Practicing the Present, The Neglected Art of Living in the Now. John Kessler.
know social media can grow your business. What you need is a social media strategy. August 6th, the Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber presents the 2019 Social Media Marketing Conference from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Gain expert insights from Salem Surround, Yelp, and other local pros to help develop your social media goals, protect and advance your brand. Plus, hear little-known tips and tricks that'll make you a social media master at La Roche University's Apella College Center, Babcock Boulevard. Reserve now at wordfm.com/conference.
Hey, it's John Hall. So a while back, the folks at MyPillow said, "Hey, John, can you try out a MyPillow and let us know what you think?" I'm skeptical. I mean, it's a pillow. But what did I have to lose, right? I'll tell you what I lost. Interrupted sleep. No more folding the pillow in half. No more flat, lifeless pillows. It changed my life. So I'm letting you know, you need MyPillow. Well, not my actual pillow, but your own MyPillow. It stays cool all night long. No more waking up at 3 a.m. to flip to the cool side of the pillow. It keeps its shape. No more reshaping your pillow in the middle of the night. It comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Try it. Don't like it? Return it. MyPillow comes with a 10-year warranty. Do you have a pillow that comes with a 10-year warranty? You can toss a MyPillow into your washer and dryer. It's like new again. Get a 2-pack of MyPillow's premiums for $69.98. That's only $34.99 per pillow, the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. This offer is only available at MyPillow.com or call 800-391-0954. Use promo code WORD.
Looking for a satisfying career helping people with disabilities? Consider LifeSteps, who's served Western Pennsylvania since 1923 and offers 100% paid health, dental, and vision premiums for full-time employees. All shifts available. Make a difference and call LifeSteps today at 724-283-1010 or visit lifesteps.net. That's lifesteps.net to check out available positions. LifeSteps is an equal opportunity employer.
Providence Presbyterian Church, Washington Alliance Church, Bethlehem Lutheran Church, St. John the Baptist Church, Impact Christian Church, The Bible Chapel. What do all these churches from various denominations have in common? Nello Construction. Design and build with one company. Nello Construction. Full service construction from the ground up. Renovation. Expansion. Nello Construction. The choice for churches. See the projects. Begin the journey at NelloConstruction.com.
Guess what time it is?
I've been waiting all day for this.
It is time now for today's $1,000 daily cash giveaway, Word FM Word of the Day.
Are you having fun with words?
It's going to give away $1,000 in cash to somebody.
Remember these words.
The Word FM Word of the Day is Kaufman. Enter the word Kaufman online at wordfm.com/cash, and you'll have the chance to win $1,000. Again, the Word FM word of the day is Kaufman, K-A-U-F-M-A-N-N.
At Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville, find extreme accessories for all your dirty jobs, like hauling landscape supplies. Protect your vehicle with spray-on bed liners, tonneau covers, WeatherTech floor liners, and more. Say goodbye to dirt and grime inside and out with extreme detailing. Plus, lift kits, electronics, and remote starters, always a favorite. Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville, for the extreme in all of us. At extremetruck.net.
A shower or a thunderstorm around early this evening, otherwise mostly cloudy and humid tonight, low 67. Times of clouds and sunshine tomorrow with a shower or thunderstorm around, humid, high 79. Partly cloudy and humid tomorrow night with a low of 64, then pleasant with partial sunshine on Thursday, high 81. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm meteorologist Randy Adkins.
Celebrity birthdays today, people.
Celebrities.
I mean, you know, there's
birthdays of the stars.
Birthdays of the stars.
We salute you. It's birthdays of the stars, our daily report.
Exactly. So we are thinking today of Lisa Kudrow from Friends.
Yeah, well, Lisa Kudrow, as good as she was in Friends, was even better in the precursor to all that, which was the sitcom Mad About You.
8 o'clock on Wednesday nights.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was so hilarious. Paul Reiser, Helen Hunt.
Yeah.
Carol Burnett.
Carol Burnett. Oh, who she was?
She was Helen's mother.
Yeah, right.
Hilarious.
That was a great show.
Hilarious.
Really, really good show.
And Lisa Kudrow was the waitress.
That they would show up, Paul and Helen Hunt.
And she also played the waitress's twin sister.
That that sort of comic daffiness.
Oh my gosh.
Right, that was perfected. That was part of her character. That was,
it was
a slice
so,
of artwork.
So good.
It's very good.
Did you watch Friends?
Not regularly.
No, Mike.
No.
Oh.
Oh, you were alone in the fens.
Oh yeah.
No, really.
Now, My wife is obsessed with it. Though.
Really?
Yeah.
No. I was too busy.
I understand.
I had things going on then.
Sure. He had a life, Mike.
You know, Wednesday night. What? Were you in college then?
No, we were married.
Okay.
I was newly married. Yeah, so I would do the Mad About You, the Friends, the Seinfeld,
right
in a row.
Boom, boom, boom.
Was awesome.
Yeah.
What about Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Oh, today's Arnold's birthday.
Also his birthday.
Arnold.
I'll be back.
Exactly. I love the Terminator films.
Oh, T2.
I love them all.
Yeah. How many were there?
Three,
okay. I just remember two very, very well.
Yeah. Wait. No, three's coming out. Three's the one that's coming out.
I don't know.
I thought it was already out.
I mean, how
old
is Arnold?
Well, there's a new one. How old do you think he is?
74.
Two.
Okay.
72. There is a Terminator that they are in the process of making.
Really? And Arnold is the 72-year-old Terminator?
Yeah, and Linda Hamilton's in it.
What?
There's six.
What? Come on.
Really?
Six Terminator?
There's the Terminator. Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
Yeah.
And then Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines.
Oh, right. Of course. How could I forget that?
And then the latest three in 2009 in Terminator Salvation.
No.
One in 2015 called Terminator Genesis.
Holy smokes.
And 2019, Terminator Dark Fate.
Which is going to be awesome because Linda Hamilton's going to be back.
Yeah.
Arnold's going to be back. And it's going to – from what I understand, they're like hitting the reset and forgetting the ones in between. Like they're doing Terminator T2 and Rise of the Machines and then they're forgetting the other ones.
Really?
And they're just going to pick up because apparently they weren't good.
So is that your favorite Arnold movie?
Oh.
T2?
Well, I loved Kindergarten Cop.
Kindergarten Cop?
I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions.
That's a good movie.
I loved it.
It's funny.
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
Oh, gosh.
I like that too. I mean, Predator was really stupid.
Mm-hmm.
I like Total Recall.
Oh, that's a good film.
That's creepy.
My favorite Arnold film is his first film called Pumping Iron.
Oh, is that about the Mr. Universe?
Yes. It's a documentary, which is fascinating.
I cannot believe people do that.
1977. It's fascinating because, of course, nobody knew who Arnold was, and there's this film crew following these guys around for the Mr. Universe pageant. And I believe this is true, that the producers or the director of the film focused on Arnold because he saw him work his... Essentially, what happened was Arnold psyched out all of his other competitors. I mean, of course, his body was magnificent if you're into that sort of Mr. Universe look. But what happened in Arnold's mind to crush his opponents is just really the reason to see the film.
Well, and that's the same thing that made him the Terminator.
Of course, yeah. Pumping Iron, 1977.
Okay. How old do you think Lisa Kudrow is, going back to her?
She's 51.
56.
56, mm-hmm. Lisa. Well, happy birthday to you.
Yeah, so enjoy a good Friends episode and perhaps some Terminator tonight to celebrate these two people.
All right, happy birthday. Where are we going next?
Can you believe he was governor of California?
Oh, yeah. Did he do a bad job?
I think he did.
I don't know.
Well, look at, you think they're in good shape?
Well, that's a long line of all that stuff. You know how it is.
Yeah, it is a long line. It was Jerry Brown, and then it was him, and then it was Jerry Brown again, I think.
Hey, we're going to talk about AI. Fuzz Reyna joins us next.
WORD.
Next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
Now, it's true that God uses imperfect people and none of us are worthy to serve him, but yet he calls us and fills us and then uses us when we are available and accessible to him.
Tune in next time for PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint, tonight at 9:30 on 101.5 WORD.
Stuck in an expensive timeshare contract and feel like there's no way out? I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO of Wesley Financial Group. I've helped thousands of people get rid of their timeshares.
I didn't realize what I was getting into. The whole thing was just a scam. I finally found information on Chuck, and he agreed to meet us. It was just a wonderful experience because he knows that business inside out, and he actually wanted to solve our problem.
I fought the largest timeshare company in federal court, and yes, I won. Whether you owe $10,000 to $250,000 on your timeshare, we can help cancel your mortgage. When you're approved as a client, we'll get you out of your timeshare, eliminate your payments, and get them off of your back permanently. And we proudly hold an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Call Wesley Financial Group now for your free consultation at 1-800-462-3333. That's 1-800-462-3333. 800-462-3333.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino, and believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-494-2323. That's 800-494-2323. 800-494-2323. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
What you want is awesome new flooring at a great price. What you don't want is to spend hours at a showroom looking for it. With At Home Flooring, you won't have to. At Home Flooring is where awesome happens. And their family's been bringing awesome straight into Pittsburgh homes with top quality hardwood, tile, carpet, and vinyl for over 50 years. With their free shop at home experience, along with great selection and professional installation. So forget the showroom and schedule a little bit of awesome instead. Visit athomeflooringpgh.com.
It's kind of ironic. We were just talking about celebrity birthdays and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
How's that? I'm going to say that again.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's because he grew up saying John Hall over and over again.
Arnold Schwarzenegger. Sorry, Arnold. Okay, so T2, Arnold sort of became this half-man, half-machine.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? He was artificial, but you grew, you had sympathy for him. You liked him.
Yeah. Because he was,
when he sacrificed himself, it was a big deal.
So, great minds have been thinking about this collision,
yes,
of man and machine,
yep,
together. And seemingly, they would tell us, we're, you know, at the doorstep. Within the next however many years, there will become this fusion of reality.
Right. And of course, the idea behind Terminator is that Linda Hamilton recognizes what's coming. And, you know, there's some time travel involved. But she has to go back and prepare her son to be the warrior. Because
right,
the machines are going to take over. And they're not going to take over because they're nice machines.
Ouch. Okay, so Fuzz Rana is with us. Fuzz is the Vice President of Research and Apologetics at Reasons to Believe. He's got a brand new workout along with Ken Samples called Humans 2.0, Scientific, Philosophical, and Theological Perspectives on Transhumanism. Fuzz, welcome back. How are you?
John and Kathy, thanks for having me. It's always fun to hang out with you guys.
Thanks, Fuzz.
Sure. So transhumanism, what is it?
Well, this is an idea that is kind of a mixture of science and philosophy and theology. And in a nutshell, it's the idea that we should use science and technology to enhance human beings beyond our biological limits, make us stronger, smarter, more psychologically well-adjusted. And people that are advocating this view hope that through this process, we can alleviate pain and suffering in human beings. We can lead to human flourishing and human progress, you know, in a sense, kind of create a utopian type of future. And also, people realize that this science and technology could actually maybe one day help us attain some type of immortality. And so in that sense, there's a religious nature to the transhumanist movement. And really, transhumanists almost to a person think that we really have an obligation not only to use science and technology to improve upon the human condition, but to really take control of our own quote-unquote evolution, and in the process create a world where there are these post-human species that are distinct from human beings.
So, Fuzz, is this a foregone conclusion that man essentially will play God in the creation of a new sort of species?
Well, you know, you're mentioning the Terminator, and there's so many examples in science fiction where people have dreamed about, this kind of a potential future. But we really are looking at this future as being an imminent reality, I believe, because there are incredible advances that are happening in biomedicine and bioengineering that are producing technologies that could literally transform people's lives in a positive sense. But these same technologies are stepping stone technologies to really human enhancements and are fueling transhumanism. It's gone from this fringe academic idea to being academic mainstream, and it's very quickly filtering down into the person on the street. It's really beginning to permeate our culture. And I really think it's going to be an alternate gospel. It's going to be a competitor to the Christian gospel in the next few decades, because we live in a world that's increasingly secular, that's influenced by science and technology. And here we now have a gospel saying that science and technology can rescue us. And people are going to find that appealing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's really interesting.
Sure, people already find that appealing, right?
It's sci-fi come to life.
Okay, what about ethical regulations on transhumanism? Do they exist? And if so, who's
a governing facility?
Who's making the rules?
Well, yeah, I mean, this is the thing that's scary, is nobody is really regulating these advances. They're happening so fast, it's impossible to keep on top of these advances. And the advances are outpacing anybody's capacity for ethical deliberation. And that's really frightening, because there's not really regulations in place whatsoever. But on top of that, many bioethicists who work in this area really are afraid that we don't have categories to properly deliberate on how these technologies should be used, or if we even should pursue some of these technologies. And so in the book, Humans 2.0, one section is devoted to the ethical challenges of transhumanism. And what my co-author Ken Samples and I argue is that actually the Christian worldview, though it's an ancient system of bioethics, actually is robust enough to produce an ethical system that could promote science and technology development, but also guide how that technology is used in a way that promotes genuine human flourishing, but prevents human beings from being exploited, or really human life in a broad sense from being devalued.
I see. So then there are positive aspects of this. Even though it is fearful in some ways, some good things can come from this.
Yes, and this is the real complexity, of these issues, of these advances, is, the very technology that could cure genetic disorders, that could help people that are locked in suddenly be able to communicate, that could give people that are amputees control of robotic limbs with their thoughts, can be used for some, really unwise applications when we start thinking about deliberately trying to enhance human beings or modify human beings with technology.
So then, Fuzz, is Humans 2.0, is it a warning? Is it a celebration? Is it what? What are you trying to say?
Well, it's really all of this. The goal in Humans 2.0 is to really alert people within the church that transhumanism is really here at our doorstep, and to help Christians understand the science behind it, and help them to become cognizant of the ethical issues, but help them to be encouraged by the fact that if we effectively engage our culture, we have something to offer in these discussions, namely, again, ethical guidance. But most importantly, I see transhumanism as a golden opportunity for us to reach our culture with the gospel, because there's interesting parallels between transhumanism and Christianity in terms of what people are aching for, what people are longing for. People want a world where there's not pain and suffering, mm-hmm. where humans flourish. They want a utopia, and we realize there's something wrong and broken with this world, and there's something wrong and broken with us. And people realize that death is not natural, and they want to overcome death. They want to conquer death. The where transhumanists are misguided is to turn their hope to technology as opposed to the person of Christ. But this is a great opportunity for us to, as Christians, to recognize the need that is being expressed, that is motivating transhumanism, and to show how the gospel really uniquely meets that need.
Fascinating.
That's Fuzz Rana. He's the Vice President of Research and Apologetics at Reasons to Believe. Also the author of several groundbreaking books, including Who is Adam? The Cell's Design and Dinosaur Blood and the Age of the Earth.
Scream. We all scream for ice cream. That's exactly what's happening every day at the Springhouse in 84. We're literally up to our elbows in ice cream. But who could resist a cotton candy ice cream cone? Or how about cookie dough? Or Heath Crunch? Or even raspberry chocolate yogurt? You've just got to try them all. If not a cone, then how about a toasted almond fudge ball? Creamy vanilla ice cream rolled in toasted chopped almonds and topped with gooey hot fudge and real whipped cream. Or better yet, a strawberry ice cream shortcake made with real old-fashioned shortcakes, smothered with sliced strawberries, and again, real whipped cream. Jump in the car now. Head to 84 in the Springhouse, where we want you to scream for ice cream.
If you're drowning in IRS debt and can't afford to pay, then you need to take advantage of special IRS tax programs that are available and free yourself from IRS collection efforts once and for all. Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing throughout the country, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle delinquent tax problems. An open phone line has been established by Community Tax for consumers to call and see if they qualify. Take down this number or store it in your cell phone, but call the Community Tax Helpline at 800-500-5588. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and cannot afford to pay them back, or even if you have years of unfiled tax returns, there's no need to fear anymore. But you have to call the Community Tax Helpline today at 800-500-5588 for the help that you need. Don't take on the IRS alone. They can attack your wages, savings, pension, home, and even your Social Security check. Call 800-500-5588 for your free consultation and to see if you qualify. That's 800-500-5588.
Summer is here, and Matt's got the barbecue out all ready to grill. That's why he trusts Super Poly Grip, so he can enjoy his steak with full confidence.
Poly Grip!
Sounds like there's a party going on, but something's missing.
Surprise!
The birthday gal's arrived, and thanks to Polydent, her bright smile is anything but a surprise.
Get smarter every day at Ozzy.com. Try a new news site that tells you about the most interesting people, places, and ideas. Discover the next Obama or maybe the next LeBron James. Try OZY.com right now. Ozzy, it's like a latte for your mind. Get some.
I love the joy that children bring to the office.
Good dental habits begin early with Dr. Megan Stock.
I like creating those good, positive first experiences.
My mommy is a really good dentist, and she'll take good care of you.
Visit StockFamilyDentistry.com.
You have my word on it.
So as we invite artificial intelligence into our lives, because, quite honestly, we have no choice, will this be the end of humanity as we know it?
I think it's a valid question to ask.
Without a doubt.
I really do.
And not to be reactionary or fear-driven, but this is a great unknown. And it's here, essentially.
Yeah. Mike just sent me a fascinating article written by Rick Paulus in The Week. And he said, it's worth looking at what super intelligent AI actually is and when we might expect it. Okay. Firstly, computing power continues to increase while also getting cheaper, right? We know that, right?
Right.
We're talking about the moon landing and how, you know, we have more power in our smartphone in our hand, computing-wise, than they had to get
all of Apollo.
And all of the Apollo missions probably put together, right? But certainly that one.
Without a doubt.
Anyway, he says there's no reason to think that artificial intelligence won't surpass human intelligence, and likely very quickly. that superintelligence could arise within days, learning in ways far beyond that of humans. Nick Bostrom, an existential risk philosopher at the University of Oxford, has already declared, quote, machine intelligence is the last invention humanity will ever need to make.
Whoa. Okay, so in this piece, they talk about the rise of fake news, right? And so what caught many people by surprise about fake news is that they are saying in this article that it should have been completely predictable. Because when the web is a place to make money, algorithms were built to maximize money making. Mm. So the ease of news production and consumption, heightened with the proliferation of the smartphone, found writers and editors to fight for audience clicks by delivering articles that were optimized to trick search engine algorithms into placing them high on search results.
Whoa, that is so interesting.
Isn't it? That's the first
wave. So that's how news can spread.
Right.
That's how some in what seems to be innocuous and totally false can become a gigantic thing.
Exactly. Which will sway cultures because of algorithms created by AI. And that's at its most base level. So what's in store as this whole thing melds?
That's how profoundly things could change. But we can't really predict, he goes on to say, what might happen next, because super intelligent AI might just not think faster than humans, but in ways that are completely different. So it might have motivations, feelings even, that we cannot fathom. Mm-hmm. It could rapidly solve the problems of aging, of human conflict, of space travel. We might see a dawning utopia, or we might see the end of the universe.
In 2015, Elon Musk donated $10 million to, as Wired magazine put it, to keep AI from turning evil. Now, they're saying that this was an oversimplification, that the money went to the Future of Life Institute, which planned to use the $10 million to further research into how to make AI beneficial, because we know how it can be the opposite.
So thinking back to the Terminator, if you've seen it, you know, the mom knows what the future is, Linda Hamilton, right? She knows what the future is, and she knows that even though people don't think about it or don't respect it or even don't fear it, she knows they should, because the machine's intentions are bad. And so she needs to make her son into a warrior so that when the time comes, there'll be someone strong enough to fight.
So will AI recognize the gospel?
Part of me doesn't believe that it will ever get to that point.
Oh, really?
But I, why do I think that?
I don't know.
There's no, I have no rational reason for thinking that.
I mean, look how far we've come in the last 20
years. Why would I think that it wouldn't keep going?
Imagine 100 years from now.
Right.
Right. Our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren.
In all of the eras of history, though, when people were contemplating utopias, there was always, and I hate to say this, but it's just the historical truth, there's always a massive catastrophe.
Yeah.
You know, there's the Black Death, or there's a world war,
right,
or there's the Spanish flu, or...
So there may be a dividing line. Like, you know, we look at, you know, AD. There may be a dividing line of something that says us as purity, so to speak, in God's creation, mm-hmm, and then post-purity, mm-hmm, or post-melding. There,
right,
may be that cultural,
well, and
line.
Again, I hate to keep going back to my sci-fi movies, but this is what science fiction is good for.
Yeah.
Is it helps
the
you
musings.
To it does. It's the musings of the future, the musings of technology. I mean, the question with Terminator is that he's completely synthetic, except he is developing human characteristics such that
good and bad.
Can we destroy him?
Right.
Do we want to destroy him?
Here's
and
the deal.
Can he decide to sacrifice himself? Is that just a prompting that humans can listen to?
Right. I mean, I'm excited by it, but I hope that I'm not here for it.
Hmm.
Because it is.
You hope someone else is there to fight the battle.
It's
right?
Pandora's box, right? I mean, they're telling us this is what it's going to be, and of course we can't. I mean, you know, I remember being a kid and trying to look at the future and being excited about what we thought were, you know, phones with televisions in them. Well, no one could anticipate what the iPhone was going to be in its most base form. So what will the future be like,
right,
with artificial intelligence?
And does it make you think about the book of Revelation? And,
yes, it does.
And, yeah.
And what it is that Paul is describing, because he's, you know, a first century man who's seeing visions of things,
mm-hmm,
that are historically
fantastical,
way, right, beyond him. And so the way that he's describing things, you know, it could be it could be things that we're seeing now.
Prescient.
But from a first century perspective, right. He's describing it in fantastical ways. And for us, it might be just, you know, really technologically mechanical things that we're seeing right in front of us.
Heaven help us.
I mean,
will help us.
Look at culture right now. I'm not saying that, you know, the Apple Watch is a bad thing. The iPad is a bad thing. But do you think that maybe they're trying to desensitize us or, you know, make us get ready maybe for the mark of the beast. Mm-hmm. Because, people are wearing the Apple Watches now. Now there's glasses that are like the Apple Watch.
Sure.
That right. You can buy.
Well, listen, when I heard earlier today, Mike, that 30%, a full third of what's on the internet is pornography.
Yeah.
I thought to myself, I think the mark of the beast was our very first access code that we put on so we could get online.
Yeah. Well, look, when you see us.
Are you kidding me?
When you see us all, we stare in our smartphones, right? You see us in a crowd. You see us in traffic. Of course we are. So this is the tiny touch of the beginning of it all.
Yeah.
And not to be, you know, doom and gloom, but the keys are there before us, and we have turned that key. There's no doubt.
I'll tell you, that's a cheery end. Plus, there's no regatta. God. Find us online at johnandkathyshow.com or find us on iTunes.
The Ride Home with John and Kathy, a production of Salem Media Group.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.